Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Haggai 1. Haggai 1. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much but harvested little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothes, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it becomes too little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own home. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain and on the new wine, on the oil and on the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord, their God, had sent him, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came, and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts and their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for a chance to gather as brothers and sisters, Lord, just to hear your word. And Father God, we just ask that your spirit just come and lead this time. Spirit, we just ask that you fall in this room and show us and open our eyes and our ears to hear your truth, God. May your spirit be the one really speaking today. So Father, we just give you this time and we love you. In your name we pray, amen. So about four things that I want to point out about the scripture that God was speaking to me as I was studying it this week. And it was something that I didn't actually notice at first. A lot of these things, some of them are very obvious, but there's a few things that are quite subtle. But the first one, which I think is not subtle, like I think it appears twice, is the order of our work. So the people had returned from exile from Babylon about 20 or so years before. And they had started maybe working on the temple and then they stopped. And they started working on their homes and they started focusing on their own self. And God is saying, what are you doing? Why are you building these beautiful, I mean, maybe they weren't beautiful, but why are you building these homes? Why are you doing the work that you're doing? The order in which you have done it. You wonder why you feel like you never have enough. You ever wonder why you don't feel satisfied? Do you ever wonder why you work so hard, but it never seems to be enough money? Or you eat a lot of food, but you never are quite satisfied? Or you don't like the clothes you wear? Or, you know, you're comparing yourself to other people and it's never enough. And God essentially says, it's because of me. Because you have chosen the order of your work to be in the wrong way. Now, I'm not going to say God in your own personal lives is the cause for you to feel that way. But when you put things out of order, it's because you haven't filled yourself with him first. On the way here, I was kind of thinking about the message a little bit more. And one of the things that I felt like God was saying was, how many of you work so hard during the week at your jobs? You work so hard doing the things, and it's not bad. It's good. But when it comes to Sunday, or when it comes to the times when you're supposed to be serving, or when it comes time to be at house church, you're not. You're too tired on Sunday to serve the house of God. You're too tired to make it to house church, or you're too busy at work. Or maybe not this house of God, but maybe God has called you to marketplace ministry, but you get so caught up in the day-to-day work that you're forgetting the call that God has placed in your life, which is to build his house. Not this build, I mean, we need to pray for this building, but not this building, but his house, his eternal kingdom. And we get so swept up in our work. I do too. You know, in house church this week, we were talking about Belinda's sermon, and she was asked, one of the things she talked about was, are you a permanent resident? Are you a frequent visitor? Or are you a tourist to the presence of God? Right? And only one person in my house church, and it wasn't me, by the way, was able to honestly say they feel like they're a permanent resident of God. Most everyone said that they were frequent visitors, like very frequent visitors. But to get to that point of saying that they're a permanent resident, maybe if we were being a little too harsh on ourselves, I think that is possible. But how often is it our own doing that we feel like we're never satisfied? Because we can't actually ever feel fully satisfied unless we are in God. Nothing we do, no matter how much we work, we will never get to a point of full satisfaction if we're not with God. And you know, a lot of people, they're like, oh, I just can't serve at church because I'm so busy at work. You know what? Wrong order. It is the wrong order. And we see Haggai saying, you have built your homes. You have built your own kingdom here, and you have forgotten my home. You have forgotten my home. And you wonder why you feel dissatisfied. And you wonder why it's never enough. And he does it twice. He starts, and then he gives the command to go to the mountains to get the timber, and then he reminds them again. So it's very important, and God is trying to make it very clear what's going on. Now, as I said, I'm not talking about necessarily just SP. But there's a calling God has put in your life to build his world, to build his kingdom. And if you're so caught up in all the other stuff that is secondary, the order is wrong. Now, obviously, I think the first place we should always start is ourselves. It's not selfish to take time for yourself to dwell in the Lord. In fact, that is the most unselfish thing that you can do. The most unselfish thing you can do is put your time with God first. That is the order in which God calls us to do. Why? Because when we put God first and we spend time with God first, everything else we do just flows. I didn't say it's easy, and even when we do it that way, the enemy doesn't like it, and so there will be difficulties. But I want you to think for a moment, is maybe the reason that you're feeling so dry because the order in which you do your work is in the wrong order? I'm not saying slack off at work, because God calls us to be good stewards of our work. But it shouldn't be our number one priority. It shouldn't even be our second. Are we building God's kingdom first, or are we building our own? Because if we're building our own, it's not going to go very well. Or are we building somebody else's? The second thing that comes out in this that's really stood out was the obedience without a promise. God commands them to build the temple, that it was time to rebuild the temple. Now, if you look throughout a lot of the prophets and you look throughout scripture, often when God gave a command, he also gave a promise, right? When Jeremiah is being called to be a prophet. He's like, I'm too young. I don't know what I'm going to say. This is in chapter one, I believe. Chapter one or two of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah talks about this. And he goes, God, I'm too young. And God says, do not worry. I'll be with you. I will give you the words to say. Right? So there's this promise that comes with the call. But actually, when you look at chapter one, there is no promise of glory. There is no promise that they will feel much better. It may be implied, but it's not there before the obedience. The obedience took first without any guarantee of what God was going to do for them. Now, I think we all do it, but oftentimes we're like, God, I will do what you want me to do if X, Y, Z. You know, God, if you do this for me, then I'll do it. Or God, show me your glory, show me your power, and then I'll act. But in Haggai, God never tells them he's going to show them his glory or his power. Now, if you look throughout the different books of the prophet, it's there. They would have known it. But in the message from God at this specific moment, God does not lead with that or include that until they became obedient. It was only once they became obedient to God's word that the promise of this blessing came. In your life, are you always searching out for these moments of glory and power and someone from the stage to give you a prophetic word, or not necessarily from the stage, someone next to you, before you're willing to act upon God's call in your life? Or are you willing to obey God without any promise of a better life? Where things could be difficult, things could be hard, but are you going to be willing to obey because God has asked you to? What's unique here is that they all seem to obey. Right? You have the two leaders, the governor of Judah, the high priest, and the entire remnant obeyed. It didn't say partial remnant. It didn't say the men. It didn't say the children. It didn't say the women. It says the entire remnant. The remnant were the people that were left. The people who had returned from exile, right? And this is most likely including the second wave of returnees, okay? And so when you think about this, there was an obedience that went out throughout and it caught on. But it started with the leaders. It started with the leaders hearing the word. And if you notice, only the leaders did Haggai in this first part address. And out of their obedience, the people obeyed. They didn't question the leader, right? We look back throughout scripture, you know, think about Moses. Moses came off a mountain glowing like God, right? Like he had seen God and he was glowing, and it scared people that he had to wear a veil across his face. It's because he literally scared people with how much he was glowing. And people still question him at times, or they question God. Now, I'm not saying that the people don't eventually re-question their leaders, because we know that there's a pattern that happens. But in this moment, they didn't question. They obeyed. They followed. And then what happens is their spirit was stirred. Once their spirits were stirred by God, the building started to take place. There was obedience. There was stirring of the spirit. And together, they started to rebuild God's temple. Now, sadly, this temple never compares to the first temple. And there's a lot of different reasons why people think it could have been disobedience. It could have been a lot of things of why the second temple never reaches the glory of the first. But in this moment, there was such a united front of obedience with God. But what does that mean for us? There are times when we as a church need to come in unity in obedience. That we as a body need to follow the call of God together, to be stirred together for the building of his kingdom. It can't just be a handful of people who are stirred to do something. That's okay for certain times. There's certain things that we don't need the entire body of SP to be called to be stirred to. But there are times when we need to come together as one, like every single person that claims this place as their home, and walk in obedience to what God is doing through us and for us. And he's going to do mighty things during that time. It may not look completely like we want it to, but God is at work. And when we really think about that, they were called to build. They were told to go to the mountains to get the timber. But the building didn't take place until their spirits were stirred by God. But they had already been obedient. Obedience doesn't equal you need to feel something about it. Your inside doesn't have to necessarily match your outside right away. Their initial obedience, the Bible doesn't tell us how they felt about it. But they were willing to follow God, maybe if they didn't feel it. And then their spirits are stirred by God. Sometimes it's the action of obedience, the action of following, that will get your insides, your spirits in line to get stirred up by God. To really feel what you're doing, right? To have passion for it. But we don't need passion for something to do it initially. What we need is to follow the word of God. And finally, we see now the promise comes. They've been obedient. They've been following God. And God says through Haggai, I am with you. Now, I am with you actually came before their spirits were stirred. Okay? That was before their spirits were stirred. But the promise that God had given them that he was with them comes. Right? And then we'll see that the promise of God's, that his glory will return to the temple, that it's going to look, even though the temple itself may not look like it once did, God actually says the glory and the power of his presence is going to be more than the first temple ever was. But the promise of God that he'll be with them actually came later, which is not, as I said before, necessarily the case throughout the prophets. It's not necessarily the case throughout scripture that this is how God always works. But I want to challenge you that sometimes we don't need to know what's coming next. We don't need to know all the good things, and we don't need to have all the promises and all the signs and wonders for us to obey God. God will do that sometimes, a lot of times, and actually more through scripture you'll see that. But in this moment in Haggai, what we see is a reversal. The reversal of obedience, then the promise. And so if you're searching for an answer from God, if you're searching for what you're a sign, maybe God's saying, I'm not going to give you a sign yet. Maybe I'm not going to give you what you want in order to make a decision because I want you just to trust and obey me first. That is a true son and daughter of God. And so this morning, I'm going to ask Samuel to come up. And I want you to really reflect on one of two things. Are you building your house or someone else's house before God's? Or are you always searching out for God to give you the promises and the goodness before you're willing to act and to follow his call for your life? And just go before God. And you may need to repent a little bit. You may need God to search your heart to show you. But just really seek God in this moment to ask him where he sees where you're at. Thank you.
to worship you. I live to worship you. To worship you. I live.
Just turn to our prayer focus for today. Let's turn to us. Pray for those in our community, in our church, in our church family who are battling cancer or going through chemo, radiation, therapy, and surgeries. Pray for those who are sick but also need to still meet Jesus. Let's just pray for God's healing hand and his salvation to just come into their lives. Pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's also just pray for God's healing hands in their lives as well. pray for those who are searching for jobs. Let's just pray that God will lead them to the place that He's called them to be. And just during this waiting period, that God will just really renew their spirits, and they will really just walk closer with Him. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Peace Sophia in Japan and Cambodia, Grace and Oasis House with P. Jenny O. Let's just pray that God will just be with each of them and just opening doors, and just the people and the communities they interact will just see something different in them. Pray for our mission council. Let's pray for P. Sam as he leads them. Let's just pray for wisdom, discernment, and just a true, clear vision of how we can serve the God's world on a global scale. Lift up our local outreach groups, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation, and Tim and Janelle as they head our local outreach ministries. Let's just pray that God will just use us to be a light in this city. Pray for our SP Fam ministry, our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's just really pray that God will use our church to really take care of the orphans, and that we can really just be a place that comes united together in this ministry and this call. Lift up our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, and SP Youth. There's no EG tonight. But let's just pray for each of these ministries. Let's just pray that God's spirit and power really will be made known, that who God is will be declared in this building tonight. Finally, let's lift up our house churches meeting tonight, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, and McRobinson. Let's just pray for just a great night of fellowship, a great night of discussing the men's retreat and the Sunday sermon, just a time where people can feel refreshed and renewed. So God, we just thank you, Lord, that you're a God that calls us to obedience, Lord, that you're a God who will stir our spirits, Father God. And Lord, I just pray that we will have hearts of obedience, God, even without all the glory and all the power, God, that we will willingly follow you, God. And just, Lord, I pray, God, if there's areas of our life that that's a struggle, Lord, to put you first, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll just work in our hearts, God, work in our hearts so that we become more like you, God, and draw closer to you. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, and ask that you'll just bless each and every one of our spirits to connect to yours, God, opening our eyes to see what you're doing around us, God, and just giving us the energy and strength for today. So, Lord, we just thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great day and a great rest of your prayer time.